Welcome to No Instructions, I'm Bob.
And I'm Josh.
It seems like only a day ago we were saying that, yes, we're going to do more episodes this year. Sure, we'll do another one before the end of the year. That was in December?
That was, yeah.
And it is now February?
February. It's February. Early February.
It is. But we're back. Man, a lot has been going on since then, obviously, but how were your holidays? Let's do a quick catch up for everybody else.
My holidays with the family were short, but they were good. We were going to go down to go see our family in Florida for Thanksgiving, but people got sick, so my wife and my kids made that trip, and I was here fulfilling orders and stuff, so they went down and had a good time with everybody. We had a good Christmas at the house. What about you?
It was really good. I took, and I feel terrible saying this out loud, and everybody will think I'm terrible, but you were here working a lot for that last week of December. And I was not. I was at home intentionally not working, intentionally doing nothing. And for the first time, I think, in my entire adult life, it was glorious.
Good. Why was it glorious?
I don't know why, but I know that I usually can relax for a day or so, and then I get kind of antsy, and I just start looking for stuff to do. And it's still nice to be home with no, you know, work and just find other things to do. But this was like, I'm going to sit still. And then tomorrow I'm also going to sit still and just not try to be productive, not try to like do anything. I definitely needed it big time.
And you were able to do it?
I was.
Was it exercise the entire time or did once you got over the hump,
no, there
you made
was,
a decision, you were just good?
Yeah, there was no effort to it at all, which is kind of weird. It's good, but also I kept going like, why am I okay with this now? Like, why is... You know, why is this not harder like it usually is to just detach from stuff? And I think it was just last year was kind of hard
for
lots of stuff. And I think it was just time for me to check out for a little bit. And it was good.
Is there a level of trust that like stuff is being taken care of and you don't have to do it?
Yeah, that could be. Well, yes, there is, but I think maybe there's more confidence in that trust.
Because I think usually whenever I'm antsy, especially when there's something going on, it's like things are going to fall apart if I don't make sure that this detail is done. And then when you kind of let go of that and you like just like because Megan has taken over like a lot of the duties that I've done here and I was really protective of them. And she would ask me to check on stuff. And at a certain point, I'm like, I don't want to check anymore.
Yeah.
Not because I don't want to and I want to be detached. It was that she needs to build her confidence. I don't need to be there as a handholder. And letting go of that was kind of liberating. I mean, I still get a little nervous because I'm not involved in as much. But not having to worry about it allowed me to completely focus on something else.
Yeah.
And to have the comfort that I'm allowed to detach from that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered I heard you talking about it on Making It a while ago. I was like, oh, I wonder if that's you having some level of trust or that you may not have had in the past or I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it wasn't there in the past, but I think it was a combination of allowing myself to like lean into that, to everybody doing their job and everybody being responsible and letting – because – my personality is that no matter how much things are proven around me, if I'm still not willing to let it go, I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to assume that somebody else can take something over, regardless of their performance or their initiative or any of that stuff. If there's something in me that just wants to hang on to it, then I'm going to hang on to it. And so I think probably, even though the trust has been there with all of you all for a long time to keep things running and to make sure that everything's taken care of, this was probably the first Christmas break week, 2 weeks, whatever, where I was able to let myself off the hook, I think.
Was that a conscious decision or did it just kind of happen?
I think it was a necessary decision. I think I was just kind of mentally fried at the end of the year. And so I just needed to I wouldn't have been useful to try to be productive at that point. You know, I wanted time with the kids, the whole Christmas season. I love the Christmas season. And every single year, we get to Christmas Day and I'm like, what happened? Like, where did it go? I enjoy the month. I enjoy the buildup. And then it goes faster every single time. So I think by the time I got to Christmas Day, I'm like, this is disappearing faster than I can even pay attention to it. So that week after Christmas was really nice to kind of take in the moments that we had with everybody home with nothing really to do.
It was really nice. Soccer schedule.
Yeah. 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 It was very good. So, all right. So that was up to New Year's, maybe.
I don't remember New Year's. I don't remember January.
January is gone very, very quickly. We went on a retreat.
Oh, yeah. We did.
So
that is true.
Team went and got a cabin place. This crazy cabin. It was, that place was pretty significant. I was surprised. I found this place
on. It was like a
lodge. Yeah, it was a lodge. I found this place on Airbnb and it looked too good to be true because it was like $300 a night, sleeps 12 people, and it was on a lake. And I don't think it was too good to be true. I think it was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
It's a fantastic place. But we went there for a few days and did lots of planning and, you know, like looking. I think one of the cool things, and I talked about this on Making It Too, but I think one of the coolest things that we did this time that we hadn't done in the past was looking back. Was we went through every video of the previous year and at least spent a couple of minutes talking about, you know, what we did right, what we did wrong, what we could have done differently, or what some of the shortcomings were. And it was really interesting to keep identifying the same problems across the months. Like, oh, well, that was one where we had to finish it super fast and we didn't get to take it to this level. Or that was one where we had to deal with whatever. Bless you.
Thank you.
And that's amazing that you can hold that.
I tried to hold it.
My head would explode if I tried to do that. But I think that was really... I think that was cool, and I think that will be beneficial for us long-term. Looking back is not something I tend to do a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, just because we are constantly moving forward and constantly doing new things. And so I think that'll be good for us long-term. But it was a really good time. I had a great time. I hope you guys had a great time.
I did.
We invented a pool game.
We did invent a pool game, which I think we need to, before we, like, release it to the world, I think we need to, like, codify it.
Yeah, you got to codify that. Because even when... We played back here at the arcade.
I need to clarify pool, like with stick and.
It's a billiards game that Bob and Anthony came up with. And it's really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it still uses the same mechanics. You put the pool balls in the holes on a pool table with a pool cue, but you just do it with different rules.
Yeah.
And it was pretty neat. And we came back here, and sometimes we go out to the arcade. It's like a dad's night. And Anthony and I played the other day, and I was like, oh, look, this game can extend past the retreat world into the real world. And we were talking about making a scoring system and keeping it there and, like, putting it on the wall.
Oh. That'd be interesting.
We'll start a league.
So, if we figure out, like, the official rules, create that thing, and then, like, give it to the local arcade. Say, like, this is the birthplace. This is the first place that this game will be played.
Man, it's not like pickleball. Pickleball's a thing. Awesome. Like, somebody just came up with it, and now there's courts. And according to the new Jason Siegel TV show, it's the fastest growing sport in America.
That's what I've heard. Not on from that show, but in other places. Jenny got me a set of pickleball paddles for Christmas.
Have you pickleballed?
I have not, and I've never shown any interest or desire or said anything to do that.
She's just on the cusp, and she wants you to keep up.
Well, she knows that our friend Chris plays all the time. At like 5 a.m. or some ridiculous time that I'm never going to join. Yeah. And some days he goes to the gym at 5 a.m. Some days he goes to play pickleball and he's like all handsome and jacked and plays drums really well.
Like,
and, whatever.
Calm down.
He's also younger than I am, so I'll take that. But
his kids are well behaved.
Yeah, I know. I'm like good at stuff. So
it's the worst.
He plays and we've talked several times at dinner about like, actually, it's funny because our wives have talked about, hey, Bob, you should go play pickleball with Chris. And then both of us are just kind of like, He's got his crew that he plays with that I don't know any of those other people. I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning for anything except an emergency. So
except to pee.
Yeah. So I don't know. But the place that we do indoor soccer, it's this sportsplex in town. And they have like open court pickleball several nights a week, I think. And they do play while I'm there waiting on a kid to play soccer, to practice soccer. So it does actually make sense to go try it. And it does look fun. It's just not something that I have been able to figure out when to build in. I don't know how we got talking about pickleball, but
I don't remember.
Anyway, are you done with the castle?
I don't know. I don't know. There's more bags.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not.
This is a cool castle. Man, how did we get to that? What were we talking about?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
The games. Anyway, so we should definitely finish the game.
Yep.
Some official rules.
Because when I'm up by 12, the game kind of like fizzles out toward the end.
Hmm.
So we should just keep it tighter. So I should not be as good at pool.
Well, the cool thing about the way we play, though, yes, you should, because that happened to me several times while we're, you know, playing. He was up way past where I could catch up. But there's always the opportunity to be completely mismatched and win on the last.
To lose at the end.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting game.
The one mechanic, like, it's called Nuts, the game that you guys came up with, and at any point during the game, each player can yell nuts and take the cue ball.
One time.
Yeah, one time during the game and take the cue ball and move it wherever they want to. And so I was like perfectly lined up for a shot, and Bob scared me because the first time I had played it, I didn't know these rules, screamed at me, and I got startled, and he just took the cue ball and like moved it in some terrible position.
You know what I just now thought about? We've used that as an offensive move so far. I guess as a defensive move, I guess, depending on how you look at it. But you could use it for your own good, too. If you're in a really bad spot, you could... Oh, crazy. Okay, anyway, these people who are listening don't know the game.
Yeah.
This makes no sense to them.
We'll have a meeting after this.
Yeah. A production meeting for our new billiards game. Anyway, it is fun. But the retreat was fun. I think we had a really good time. So.
Yeah.
We did that. We have been working very hard with several videos.
We've been working on a lot of videos that we can't tell anybody about. They're like big sponsors, and they're really cool, and they're really involved. Yeah. And I forgot that one of them wasn't out yet.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how involved I was in that one.
Well, it's interesting because we didn't put out any videos for the first couple weeks because we were starting to produce stuff that's coming out. Well, it came out yesterday. A screen printing video came out, and then we're working on one for... The one coming out next week has been done for 3 weeks or 2 weeks or something like that. And then the one after that, we're finishing right now. It's interesting.
Is that the grill?
Yeah.
It's coming out next week finally? Okay.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Okay, so I can get that out of my mind.
That's not out yet?
Nope.
Yeah, really? That's what is it? Oh.
That's the weird thing is it's like out
people for don't know about that.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing.
The other thing we can't tell anybody.
The other thing is cool.
About. Yeah.
Have you told your kids?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. I've told my kids that I'm working on a thing I can't tell them about. And it is eating them alive.
I told them, it's fun because I tell them stuff like that. And I'm like, you can tell your friends that we're working on this. Beep, but I'm not, you know, you can't tell them the specifics of it or whatever. We'll tease it here a little bit. It's a video game property and a significant video game property. And we're doing something for the developers of the game. And it was interesting because the game that we're working on a thing for is not out yet, but we got a code to be able to download it early. And my kids thought that was the coolest thing. He was like, so we have this game before anybody else? And I'm like, well, not before anybody else, but before.
Before all the people you know.
And I didn't have to pay for it. That's cool. But it is kind of, it was interesting to like fire up the game the other night and play a little bit. And I'm like,
is the game fun?
Yeah.
I mean, your initial review?
Yeah.
So that if people know what we're talking about in the future and they're on the fence about it, they can somehow re-reference this episode in the past to help influence...
to get super vague information.
To influence their decisions in the present.
Yeah, it is fun. I think it's not a franchise... Okay, other people here in the room care about the franchise more than I care about it personally.
Some of them really
super care about it. So it doesn't mean as much to me as it would mean to them. As if it were it's not a Star Wars game, I'll give you that away. But if it were a Star Wars game, I would be more motivated, you know, to dive into it.
Yeah.
But it's something I'm interested in, I enjoy it. So I don't know that I'll finish the game, because I don't really finish video games.
Is it?
It's hard to, we can talk about it after it comes out, more specifically.
When does the game come out?
Next week.
Okay. Maybe you'll listen to this maybe next week.
Yeah, it could be out by the time they hear this anyway. Anyway, so we're working on some cool stuff. But I think also going back to the retreat, one of the cool things that we spent a lot of time on was just talking about like new things to do this year, new projects, new products, physical and digital, new courses. You know, we made a lot of plans, and it'll be really interesting to see how and if we can execute all those plans. Because there's no stakes when you're just like brainstorming, right? You're just like sitting around a couch in the cabin going, oh, it'd be cool if we did this, and it'd be cool if we did this. And then you have to figure out how to pay for it and how to spend time on it and organize it and all that type of stuff. So,
to be fair, all of the things that we have talked about in previous retreats have come to fruition.
To some degree, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true.
So we're good at doing what we're told.
Or what we come up with, yeah.
Yeah.
So that brings us to now, I guess, I think. What is new with you?
I have no idea.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
What is new with me? So since last year, I have been trying to lose weight. We had the one episode where like I had to go to the hospital because I thought my heart was going to explode, and it didn't. And that was the first time they like I've been weighed in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me mad because as a bigger person, since I was a kid, no matter what you go to the doctor for, it's because you're fat. Like, I got in a car wreck and they were like, well, your head hurts probably because you're fat.
What?
Yeah. I hurt my back as a kid when we were playing football and like I had to run around the track and I was like, God, my back hurts so bad. And so my mom took me to the doctor. Like, well, it's because you're overweight. I'm like, no, it's because I got hurt. I have a bruise. And they're like, well, it's because you're overweight too.
Hmm.
And so the heart thing, it just brought that question back up. Mm. And since, when was that? November? I've lost almost 30 pounds.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. But I can't really tell. And I think that's the psychological part. That even when I was like, I've weighed less than, how much do you weigh? This is a weird question.
I don't want to say that.
Okay. Well, whatever. I've weighed less than you in my adult life. And even then, I was still fat. Hmm. Like, it's a thing.
Perception? Or?
I mean, I don't ask other people. I don't randomly go up to people and like, rate me, yes or no.
Well, I mean, does it mean that you like you think of yourself as overweight or you see yourself and you see overweight?
All of the above.
Or like you feel, you know, when you are active?
I don't ever feel like I'm overweight.
Okay. Because, I mean, some people perceive themselves in one way even if they're physically not that way.
I'm sure it definitely is a perception thing. But like my Army career, you have weight standards. And I was always at like the upper edge of that weight standard. Mm. And so even when I was in like the best shape of my life, I was still wrong. And so it just like worsened that perception. And now like I want to lose weight for me. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what the doctor says. They told me that my heart was fine and it was just a thing. I'm like, okay, great. So I'm not doing it for like stakes. It's like if I have to lose this weight or I'm going to die. Like that's not the thing.
Yeah.
And I have a goal, and I'm not at that goal yet. And I'm tracking them because I'm a nerd. I'm graphing all of my data. And so I have to take my blood pressure every night, which I have – my blood pressure is fine, but my doctor wanted me to do it. And so I have a thing that's holding me accountable, this little digital – the blood pressure monitor that yells at me whenever I do it. But, yeah, that's happening. And I'm really glad that it happened before New Year's so that it wasn't like a resolution style, like I want to get – healthier because then it'd be really easy just to not. Like I already saw progress and then it made me feel superior over people who had a New Year's resolution, which is motivating.
Well, that's what it's all about.
I know. Really. I mean, you got to find motivation where you can. Feeling better than other people. But yeah, it's...
Condescension makes the world go round. You know what I mean?
I mean, a little bit of pride never hurt. No one fell after pride. So that's been going on. Yeah. And it's been pretty easy. I've been doing intermittent fasting, which I'd never really done before. So I eat from 11 to 7 nonstop.
Speaking of, I'm very hungry right now.
Yeah. Just
throw that out.
Like,
classic me. Anyway.
I actually feel hungry, which I've never like felt hungry.
Really?
Yeah. It was just like, oh, it's time to eat. And so you just like eat because it's time to eat. But now I'm like, okay, I am hungry right now. I don't need to gorge on something. Like, what is there around to eat? And so it's a mindful thing that I've lost weight and gained weight and lost weight my entire life. And so this is a time where I'm kind of tired of that. And the intermittent fasting is really easy to do. And we've been walking and exercising more, but like the intermittent fasting has allowed me to be more mindful about what I'm eating, because that's really, I think, the what I've been told, the real benefit in weight loss is like your eating habits.
Yeah.
And I just don't pay attention very much. I don't eat bad food, but I eat probably more than I should at times that I don't need to eat.
Right.
So, yeah, that's working. That's so great. If there are people out there, especially around the new year, where you're trying to lose weight or get healthier, like, this is encouragement. Like, you can do it. You're doing great.
You're not as good as Josh, but, you know.
Well, I mean, you will always be better than Josh at losing weight, no matter who you are. But you're doing great.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Like, even if a scale goes up and down, it's going to go up and down. Sure. Which I think is another thing, is I track all my data. Mm-hmm. And statistically, like, throughout the week, there is a there's a pattern.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of nuts.
It is weird.
Sunday would be the lowest, and Monday it kind of goes up, and then Tuesday and Wednesday goes down, and Thursday has a little spike, but not as much. And it's like a repeating, like, it's been going down about 2 pounds, give or take, like a week, which is like a healthy weight loss goal. But throughout the week, daily, it graphs, and it's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another like stupid nerd incentive for me, is to like, I can have graphical data.
I'm the exact same way. I've been tracking my sleep since like 2012 or something like that, for no reason, but it is, for me, data and visualization of data has always been like something I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And being able to look back and say, I can see throughout the week all of the times that I've run or all of the times that I've exercised for the past 10 years or whatever, because you can see that I sleep better on those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see that when I eat late, and because those are all things I have to like check boxes for when I go to bed, so that it gives you some, you know, context for the day. And you can like look back and see how all that stuff affects it over time, and it's really easy to pick out. I've started tracking my weight, not because I was trying to lose weight, but just because it was another thing I could track recently. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, I can see those patterns as well about, you know, Monday mornings, I always seem to be a pound and a half heavier.
Yeah.
Or so. I don't know why. Probably because I don't work out over the weekend as much, often, you know, as regularly. But I'm not really doing anything with that information, but it is interesting to just to have it.
Yeah, I think the information itself is motivating, because at one point I was like, I don't want to get on the scale. I want to feel good. And I always felt fine, but not getting on the scale was also not accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And so I let myself slip just because I wasn't feeling bad. Like, right. I never felt bad.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the point. And I know a lot of people like take a before and after whatever kind of picture of themselves. Like, no, I'm not doing that. Because again, like, it doesn't matter. I could be 150 pounds. And still not be happy with the picture that I see.
Mm.
So that's never really been a motivating factor. And I know a lot of people on Instagram will do that. If they're starting to lose weight, they'll like try to be publicly accountable. Like, nah, I ain't got no business for that.
No interest in that. Every time I finish a workout in the workout app that I use, it's like, hey, do you want to share a picture of your workout to Instagram? I'm like, no way. Why in the world would I want to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that some people need the account or they want the accountability or whatever. So I'm not. There's no judgment on people who do it, but like me personally, I am way too private.
Yeah, exactly. like that. Nope. I'm doing this for me. I don't want to do this for other people.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I am doing it for one person. Hmm. I'm doing it for my doctor, or the doctor. Okay. So I get my healthcare through the Veterans Administration, through the VA. Hmm. Every time I go to the doctor, which is like every 6 months when you get a checkup, I see a different doctor, which is extremely frustrating.
Hmm.
And so, after I went to the hospital that time, I saw this doctor and I was like, oh, you're kind of a young guy and not somebody who can barely speak English and hold their head up straight. And it was really motivating. I was like, okay, like let's do this. Let's lose some weight and let's do it. It was cool. And then I went back the next time and it was a completely different person. And I had at that point had lost 19 pounds and I got on their scale and I had clothes on. And so I knew that. But it was like, oh, you lost 4 pounds since the last time you were here. And I was like, no.
Hmm.
I've lost more than that. And every day I have to send them data so they can see my weight and my blood pressure and all my stuff. I was like, no, use the information. Like, do you see this information I'm sending you every single day? She's like, yeah, I have it on screen. She's like, but this is what the scale said right here. I was like, so I'm lying?
Hmm.
And so there was a huge discrepancy, which made me very upset. And she didn't care. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You're the person now. You're the person that I want to spite. You're the person that I want to come back in here and, like, lose 50 pounds or whatever. And not that I want her to be impressed, but, like, I'm doing it against you. And she was, like, very short and kind of curt. Hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this for me, but I'm doing it against you.
Even though she won't be there when you go
probably
back
to China. Not. Yeah. Probably not. But so that's where we are with that.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad it's working, regardless of why you're doing it, regardless of the process. I mean, I'm just glad that it's, you know, you're seeing and feeling the effects of the effort, you know?
Yeah. Megan posted a thing over the holidays about, like, our favorite videos or whatever. And my favorite video was the Mark Rober thing because it was all involved and it was crazy. And she posted a picture of me standing next to that thing. I was like, blech. I don't want to be on camera anymore because I don't want to have to look at myself. And I'm like, well, that's stupid because it's what we do for a living. And I want to be – not that I ever thought I looked good on camera. Even when I first got here, I still looked gross on camera, but now I looked even worse. And I'm like, all right, I want to get back to my previous less gross like perception of myself. I don't know. It's stupid.
Well, I mean – I don't want to agree and say it's stupid, but it is natural, you know, for you to have an opinion about how you look and be dissatisfied with it, for anybody, and to want to make it better. So,
yeah, and there was only so much you can whine about something until
sure.
You don't do anything about it, and you're just whining.
Yeah.
Can I add a point about this?
Absolutely. That's Megan, everybody.
Am I on, Anthony?
Yep.
Can I add a point about this? Is that okay?
Of course.
So I am a mom of a 2-year-old, and it's been definitely, like, weird for the last 2 years of, well, actually the last 3 years of body image for myself, because I was very active in beauty pageants for years. So at my wedding day, I was under 100 pounds. And then after having two babies back to back, I, for both of those pregnancies, I gained about 50 to 60 pounds. Mm. And for me, that was insane. And I felt awful. Regardless of the fact that I was carrying life and making a human, postpartum was really hard because I would just look at myself and like, that's not, I don't recognize that person. I don't like the way I look. And even then, and now, it's hard for me to prioritize my weight and my body image because I'm taking care of, you know, a 2-year-old and busy, like, working. And whenever I go home, I want to spend time with my toddler. I want to spend time with my husband. I want to, like, hang out and make dinner and just enjoy time. So I don't prioritize taking care of myself. And then when Josh started talking about the intermittent fasting, and he actually put a number on how much he had lost and how good he was feeling, I was like, oh, I want to try that. And so I've started doing that too. Hmm. I'm not tracking anything just yet. But hearing Josh that you said, I want to feel good. I just want to feel good. And then keeping yourself accountable. Now it's making me rethink.
And this is not an infomercial for intermittent fasting. I am, I don't know anything about it.
What kind of kickback are you getting on the for intermittent real. Fasting thing?
I wrote a book. It's an e-book. I need you to drink these powders. And, yeah, so I don't know anything about it. I don't know, like, what it does to your cells, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that could tell you, but I have no clue. I'm not an evangelist for the science behind it. It's I don't need to be eating late at night. And I don't really eat breakfast very much anyway. And so I know that there's schools of thought about, like, if you don't eat breakfast, then you're going to gorge on lunch and you're going to whatever. Like, that hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
So it has allowed me to be more mindful about what I am eating and when I'm eating. Mm-hmm. And it's been easy. Hmm. Because when I was in high school, like, I wanted to lose weight. And so I just, like, didn't eat. I ate, like, a kid's Subway sandwich, like, a day. And my friend Ethan was like, that's terrible. Like, this is like an eating disorder. I'm like, it's not an eating disorder. I'm just not hungry. And so I'm just going to eat when I'm hungry. And it was like, it was bad. And now all of a sudden, it's bougie because people have a clever name for it. Yeah. Back in the day, people were giving me crap about it. But, yeah, it's it's simple, and that's it. That's all I know about it, is that it works for me. It may work for you. Talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
I am not in peak physical health to be able to give anybody advice.
Well, to all of those things that you guys are saying, as as the senior in the room, as the oldest person here by a fair margin, I can say, and you know, like my kids are older and all that type of stuff, a little bit older than yours. I'm finding over the last several years that my long-term health, not just my health now, but my long-term health and ways to sustain it, that's becoming a bigger thing for me. That I'm just constantly thinking about it more. Not in like a I'm worried about it kind of way, but I'm realizing how much of a difference it can make when I look at where I've been physically, both like in exercise and just like weight and how I felt about myself and all that stuff since I was, I don't know, in my 20s or something. You know, the past 25 years, I can think about all these different times when I was had a different level of activity and was eating different things and all this stuff. And I feel better physically right now than I've ever felt in my entire life.
That's good.
And the thing that's important, I think, about that, feeling that way, is that I know what I'm doing right now to feel that way. And it's not like I'm cutting everything out. It's not like I'm avoiding certain things. But I'm trying to be really diligent about activity and about not overeating and about choosing, you know, instead of having the donut every time I see the donut, like once a week maybe have a donut if it's there. But, you know, just trying to be what's the word? Medium about things, mm-hmm. you know, finding
moderate.
Moderate would be a good way to say it. Yeah. Finding a middle ground on things that is, because there's definitely a balance as you get older and as you look ahead, as I look ahead to being a like senior citizen. I don't want to be the person who is so afraid of death and of atrophy that I don't do anything for myself. You still want to live. You want to enjoy food. You want to like do things, but you also physically want to be able to do things. And there's a moderation there in all that stuff that's becoming much more of a constant in my head. The benefits of moderation in all things are going to help me, I think, feel the way I feel right now for a very long time. And I mean, I can't prove that. Again, I'm no doctor, but I think just being consistent about exercise, whatever that exercise is, being consistent about eating moderately, making sure that you're getting what you need and not overindulging in anything has helped a lot with us. And Jenny's been doing like, over the last month, she always does these challenges with people at the gym, and it's like, you got to drink 85 gallons of water a day for a month, mm-hmm. you know, and like, you can't eat anything unless it has like 8 pounds of vegetables on for a month and stuff like that. And so somehow she's like one of those people that will, anytime there's a challenge, she'll just commit to it. Yeah, I'll do it. And so at the beginning of January, she committed to like several challenges at the same time and has completely fulfilled all of them and everything. It's all through January. But as part of a just support for her, she's cutting things out, being more diligent about what goes into every meal. I'm just like, yeah, I'll go along with it. I didn't tell her that, but I just went along with it to try to do what she was doing. And even just that month of trying to cut out more breads and like not having cookies every single night, you know, when we're sitting on the couch, and just a few things here and there, in addition to trying to be really diligent about running or working out one or the other every other day. That has made a pretty big difference, both in how I feel, but also like I've lost 5 pounds in the last month consistently, not that like 2 pound jump that you get between mm-hmm. like, you know, before coffee and after coffee in the morning, but like consistently it's dropped down a little bit, and I don't have a lot of body fat to lose. So it's not like I'm not looking to lose weight, but that has been a side effect, you know? So anyway, all that to say, just the older I get, the more I realize like how a little bit of discipline every single day, a moderate amount of discipline across all things, is having a bigger effect. Because I definitely want to be, I want to feel like I feel right now when my kids have kids, and then maybe when they have kids. I want to be around and active enough to not be like, you know, oh, we have to go to grandpa's house to see him because that's the only time we get to see him. Like, my dad is active and out and doing things and comes, borrows the trailer so that he can go get stuff to build stuff. And like, you know, he's not that old, but he's active and he's continuing to stay healthy and stuff. And I want to do that as well. But I think that starts now. One of the things I've been watching, and it's not informing all the stuff I'm saying, but I've been watching this Limitless show with Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool show, in addition to it's motivating because he's like super buff and smart and seems like a nice guy. And, you know, it's like, it's cool to see him do things for himself health wise. And he's thinking about a lot of this stuff as well, even though he's 10 years younger than me or whatever. But there's a lot of science in the show talking about the long-term effects of exercise and of like managing your stress and managing your blood pressure. And like, I have high blood pressure. So talking to the doctor recently, she's telling me about, even though it's not so high now that I'm at risk, it causes long-term stress on your body, which will make it harder to fight infection in another 15, 20 years. And so if I get it under control now, like you can do with exercise and with diet, then I'm just putting off the potential hazards that can come later on when my body's going to have a harder time dealing with them.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things, that biggest things that I've realized over the last couple of months is just that I'm never going to be more able to, my body's never going to be more able to repair itself than it is right now.
Sure.
And so the more like advantage I can give myself in 10, 20, 30 years, the better. And that starts right now. So that's where I'm at with all that health stuff.
My family has always been full of big people. And mm-hmm. I remember, like, you're talking about your dad and like your kid's grandfather is very active. And like my one grandfather, my dad's dad, was very active, always doing something. He was fixing things, had a garden, was always out doing stuff. My other grandfather like had his chair.
Right. Yeah.
And like he was in his chair.
Yep. All
the time. And it made me feel bad for him because like he was a truck driver and like he used to work like at the White House doing like, he was part of the park police, or not park police, the park service, where he would like do maintenance and stuff and like always outside doing things. And then at a certain point, I guess he retired or just like didn't. And he was just a huge guy who just had his chair and was like always in the chair. And I'm like, I don't want to be in a chair.
Yeah.
But I want to, yeah, I've never, and that's the thing is I haven't ever felt bad. I've never like, I've always felt bad about.
Right.
I've never felt physically bad.
Sure.
And I don't know which one is worse.
Hmm.
But making an effort, like yours, moderation I think is great. But moderation I think is a learned skill. I've always had a stupid relationship with food where there's been like a scarcity. I eat really fast. I don't know, I ate that fast when I was a kid, but the Army made me like eat fast.
Oh, yeah.
You eat quick and you go. And if there's something good, you better savor it because you never know when you're going to get something good again. And I just love food. I love food as like an art form. I appreciate food. And so if there's something that's good and I don't know when I'm going to go back, my tendency is to like gorge on it because it's, you got to get it when you can because you're never going to have this again. And so there's just a relationship that is not healthy because it's not accurate. Like it's a mindset that like I made food the other night. Like I made chicken sandwiches and I was like, you better eat this whole thing because you're never going to get this again. I'm like, I made it. I made it at my house.
This is the last chicken in the world.
Yeah. Like why are you thinking that way? That's not true. And it took me a long time to like, not to like identify that problem. I always knew it was a problem, but it was my first time going like, why do you think that way?
Like to verbalize it.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's stupid. I don't remember the last time I was in Paris to know that it was the last time. Like whatever meal I had, I ate it and it was good. I didn't like devour it because like, I'll never be back to this place. But I'm sure it probably was, but that's not true. If I want to, I can go back and get whatever it was.
Mm.
Or I can make it myself. But I think the relationship that you have with the thing that is your hang up. Like if it, we're talking about being healthy, if it's food or if it's you know, whatever. I think it's verbalizing it out loud to yourself or to somebody that you love can really help take ownership of it. Hmm. It doesn't have to control you that much. And then moderation becomes easier.
Yeah.
Because you can, I can realize that, like, I don't have to eat this whole thing. And the slower that I eat, like, this seems really stupid. I'm 38 years old. The slower that I eat, I feel full halfway through.
Yep.
I'm like, huh, I'm a dang.
Yep.
You're not just, like, log jamming a whole bunch of food into your stomach and then 20 minutes later feeling like garbage. So I'm trying my best to eat slow, which is very difficult for me because I feel bored. I'm like, I need to go. I need to be doing something. Like, and I catch myself here eating lunch because I'm busy doing stuff. And so I'll, like, inhale my lunch and keep going. And I have to stop myself. And that may have been a holdover from, like, the corporate world, because if I ate my lunch really quick and I just, like, wanted to take the rest of my lunch break, I was like, well, what are you doing? You're just sitting there doing nothing. Like, shouldn't you be working, doing something? Mm-hmm. And so there was always, like, a level of guilt because I needed to eat quick so that I could be productive. And that's always been, like, the driving force.
Yeah.
And so now forcing myself to, like, I'm going to take a lunch break. I'm going to sit at my desk and I'm going to watch an episode of a show. And that is my lunch break. I don't care if I'm eating. I don't care if there's food in front of me. That is my lunch break.
It's a break.
Yeah, it's a purposeful time to just take a pause.
Yeah.
And so that has all been really helpful, like all those things combined into, like, almost lose 30 pounds. Like, yeah, that's cool. That says something, but, like, I'm not there yet, so I'm not satisfied. But all of those things together, all those little tiny realizations have made this different. I honest to God want to say different than all the other times, but I don't know. I hope it is.
I mean, it is different.
It's different.
It is different either way because you're doing different things, regardless of what the long-term outcome is. It's still a different scenario than what you've been in the past, you know?
Yeah. But to those people who have that mentality that, like, well, it's just going to come back, like, I'm one of those people. I'm there with you. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't start because it is very easy to go, like, well, last time I tried to do this, I gained all that weight back and it didn't work. Well, it can work.
Yeah.
You just have to do the work. And that was a realization that I had to address myself and no one else could have told me. I would have got mad if someone else told me, just like I'm telling you now. But I'm there with you.
Yeah.
And you can do it. You can do it for you. I feel better.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you see me on camera, I'm probably still not going to like it, but I'm trying my best. I'm making a door.
Cool. Well, how long are we? We're like 40 minutes in. Mm-hmm. We did kind of have like a topic we wanted to talk about, right?
We did. And then we got off topic.
When we to a different topic.
Start getting on topic. I mean, it's kind of related, I guess. We were going to talk about burnout.
Yeah.
And how I was going to talk about my experience with burnout. And I know it seems weird that we were talking about your Christmas break and how you're able to be at home. Like, my burnout came because I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And we released our new products. So we have push sticks and we have the shop mats and we got a whole bunch of new apparel designs. And so we came up with this marketing strategy in, like, the summer, late summer. And Orange Friday, right? Black Friday, people are looking to spend money. That's when we need to launch these things because it'll be, like, in the most optimal conditions for us to profit off of the things that we're making. And so we came up with this plan. And in that plan, I guess I didn't really think of the fact that once everybody buys this stuff, it has to be made. And I have to make, like, I wrote it on a board. It was really funny. We're like, we're going to release it to the Maker Alliance. We're going to take that money. We're going to invest it into the materials so that we can make and release it to the general public. And then I wrote, and then make a bunch, and then review this and this and this. And it was like a step. It was like a mid thought. And then when it came time to make them, I'm like, oh crap. Like, this is all consuming. I have to figure out how to make these things in mass. Cause we made a handful of them, but making a handful of something is way different than making 200 of something. And it was a lot of stress. It was a lot of time and a lot of, like, just physical effort. And it needed to get done over the Christmas holiday.
And there was a lot of external pressure from people who had ordered something thinking it was coming before the holidays, even though we didn't say that. And that was an external stressor on you, like, hey, where's my stuff? Why isn't my stuff here? It's almost Christmas. Yeah. Why isn't my stuff here? Which is reasonable. It's just
exactly. It's reasonable, and I get it. And I wasn't upset that people called and asked where the thing is that they spent money on. Like, I completely understand that sentiment. And I tried to respond to each one of those people with the truth. And I just asked for grace because we're figuring this out and we're doing our best. And a lot of people responded like, oh, it's cool. I just, you know, just checking. I just want to make sure you guys are doing all right. And like, short answer was like, no, man, I'm not doing all right. But I'm going to keep going because I have to keep going. And you and I had talked many times about taking time, and you were very adamant about me taking time. And in my mind, I didn't see how that was possible because we had made a commitment to people loosely, and I didn't want to be at home trying to relax knowing that there was a tidal wave of stuff waiting for me when I got back. Mm-hmm. That would not have been relaxing. And so I could chip away at that mountain every day as much as I could possibly do in a day until I hit either some kind of like machine stoppage or material stoppage. Like, I did as much as I could possibly do in the time that I had allotted to me. And it was wearing me out. And when my family wanted to go down to Florida, I was like, I can't go. And I go, why can't you go? I'm like, I have to make this stuff. I have to get these orders out. Like, it's not even a question in my mind. And my wife is gracious and she understands, but I'm sure that she was upset at some level. And I was upset that I couldn't go. But at the same time, I was relieved that I could be here and get this stuff done without having to go home and think about someone being sad that I wasn't there. I'm like, well, if you guys are off doing something, you're going to be busy. So I will make myself busy. And I was here for a long time, a lot of times, but we got it done. And I knew that I had a goal, but I was so just tired. I was being separated from like the video aspect and being by myself doing products. Like, the video stuff is fun. It really is the best job in the whole wide world. We get to hang out with our friends and solve silly problems and make silly things. But I wasn't involved in any of that anymore. So like, the really fun, joyous part, I was absent from, and I was just heads down doing it. And yeah, it got to the point where I didn't want to do any of it anymore. I got the last order done, and I didn't realize I got the last order done. Like, I was finished, and I just like kept going, because there was always like I kept moving the finish line.
Yeah.
And that may have been, it wasn't self-induced. It was, once I got this thing done, we still had material left. So I needed to figure out how many push sticks and stuff I could get out of the material that I had left so that we could have inventory. So I got to go in and do that. And then that took a little while. I'm like, well, now I got to do that. I got to make the packaging, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And so there was always like one more little thing. And the thousand one more little things were just, it was so much. And when I was done, like, I'm legitimately finished. All the orders have gone out. Now it's just the maintenance phase. Like, I want to take a break, and I don't want to be here anymore. Not that I hate being here, but like, I want to go as far away from things that I have to do as I possibly can. And that burnout, like, for me in the past, has usually been like, if I feel that way, it's about the job itself. It was, I don't want to do this anymore. My skills can be better put to use somewhere else. Like, I am burnt out to the point where I have no joy for this anymore. My value here, the value that I'm getting from a place, has waned. It's time for me to go. And there was a point where I had to fight that this is not a normal job, and this is not a job that I detest. It's a job I absolutely love, but it was hard. And so I had to pull myself out of my natural tendency to like, okay, I've outlived my usefulness here, or this place has outlived its usefulness to me. Time for me to go. And I needed a break. I needed a vacation to kind of come to grips with all of that and realize that it was not right. That thinking was incorrect. But man, I was like, you talked about like the end of last year just being kind of stressful. Like, on top of the stuff that was just stressful about the year, it just, that 2-week kind of decompression time that we allot every year became the busiest time.
Yeah.
And it, man, it sucked. It sucked, and it put me in a mental place that I didn't want to be. And I did get to take a break. I wanted to get on an airplane and just go somewhere. I didn't know where I wanted to go. I was looking at Google Flights every day. Like, I would be waiting for the CNC to finish, and I'd be looking at Google Flights. I'm like, where can I go? Where can I just get on an airplane right now and just disappear? And that would be my normal reaction to stuff. And again, in the whole weight loss, like being more mindful and paying attention conversation, it was, I guess, a more responsible way to deal with work stress was not to completely flee, but to decompress and to finally get that time.
Hmm. And so you took some time off. How was that?
I don't remember what I did. No, I was at the house. I was just hanging out with the kids.
Yeah.
Which normally, I know longtime listeners, like, that's usually a stress because you're the, or I feel like I'm the cruise director. But, like, I got to take my kids to guitar practice and to ballet class and just hang out with them. And this was the first time that I've actually really enjoyed just, like, lull time with my kids. We went and did stuff. Like, I took each one of them out to go do, like, special activities with just them. And it was effective. It was really effective. And it really helped that, like, coming back to work after that time was us going to the retreat.
Hmm.
So that was a good, like, ease back into things.
Right.
And now we have the new videos that we're being very cryptic about. And I'm back into, I'm still doing physical products. Like, that's the thing. But I'm able to then solve a problem related to a video, which is the fun part. So I can tip my toe back into the fun piece to try to balance those two things. The, like, getting heads down, developing stuff that I hope to God people like and I hope to God that they'll buy so that it would justify the work that I did while still being able to do the fun problem-solving part of the job that I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from a place of privilege. Because I've been in those positions that you don't get to choose whether you have to do the cool part or you get to do the cool part or have to do the droll part. And in that kind of burnout period, I had to stop myself and go, like, you've never had the option to choose to do a cool part of your job. You've always been forced to do stuff that you hated.
Hmm.
And so don't give up on this. You can't give up on this because you'd be giving up, like, the best thing. And probably going to a job, doing a job that I would have, that I wouldn't like. I'd be reverting. And I don't know how that potentially helps other people, but I know that even in the coolest job, like, burnout is a real thing. So if you have a job that's not the coolest job, you got to be able to watch yourself or have people in your life to help you overcome that.
Yeah, I think it can be very easy from the outside for somebody to look at what we do and just to think, well, like, that's got to be all good. I mean, specifically for me, because, like, I'm in control. I'm in charge. I have a good reason to get these tools that I wouldn't otherwise. I get a reason to build ridiculous props and, you know, renovate my own kitchen and make money from it somehow instead of lose money on it. And those things are all true, but I think, like you're saying, every job comes with its own stressors, it comes with its own responsibility. And so even the, you know, the greenest grass is still grass. Dogs still poop in the grass. Like, it's, there's just bad stuff. There's hard stuff about every single job. And I, you know, we are absolutely privileged. I am privileged to get to do what I do. But it's still very difficult. I've said this many times, and I don't know if it lands on people as truth or not, but I've worked for myself most of my life. Like, since I got out of college, I worked for Dell for a little while. But otherwise, I've mostly worked for myself. And so, as you know, when you run your own business in any form, no matter what it is, you do a lot of work. And I work more and have worked more at I Like to Make Stuff than anything else I've ever done. Like, multiple jobs put together. And so it's not a matter of, like, it's just fun and you get to always do anything you want. I mean, there's a lot of effort that goes into it. But part of that, like, the amount of hard work that you have to put into it is also just the, I don't say wear and tear, but there's like a wear to working really hard and being fully invested in something for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing, but there's a wear that goes with it. And it, you know, something that you occasionally have to be able to step back from and just take a breath and kind of recuperate a little bit so that it doesn't become a thing that you just don't want to do anymore. You know, and I actually was telling somebody else at the beginning of last year that the way that YouTube ad, you know, numbers are going and view numbers and all that type of stuff, I was really surprised. Last year, I assumed that we would lose a lot of full-time content creators last year. A lot of people would give up. Either they couldn't afford to continue to do it, or they were just too tired, or I thought that we would have a lot more. And I know some people did quit. Some people stopped and had to move on to other things. And I think that's totally reasonable. I'm surprised that there weren't more. But anyway, all that to say, I have also gone through several bouts of, I don't know if I'd call it burnout, just exhaustion. And like over the years with doing this, and I think it's a natural part of any job, anything you care about that you're willing to put yourself really far into, there's potential for it to, you know, have an effect on you. Just be tiring. It's just part of it.
And I think it's part of any job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to have that realization that there's good things and there's bad things about everything that you do. And I assume that I wouldn't have to make that conversation with myself and this place. Because this place is so much different than every other job. But it's still a job.
Yeah.
It's your business to run. And I get that there are stresses that you have that none of us can understand. Because it's your name. Your name on the door, your name on the bills. It's not my name. And so in that burnout, I was like, if I were to leave, what would I do? I'm like, well, I want to start my own business. And then that's terrifying. And I'm like, well, how much stress? It's different stress, but stress nonetheless. And I don't know. It was insane. And it was something that I had never felt being here, because I have always appreciated what we do and how we get to do it. That it seemed silly almost to like think about wanting to leave, but it was real. And it was something that I had never felt before. And I wanted to talk to, I talked to you about it. I talked to Megan about it. And yeah, I hope it's encouraging to other people that not to stay in a job that you hate. I had to realize that in that moment, I didn't hate this.
Right.
I was exhausted. And it wasn't that I gave up on our goals or I questioned why we do what we do. That wasn't it. It was just this overwhelming exhaustion that made everything seem really bleak. And it made everything turn to, well, I don't want to do any of it anymore. I guess it's time to go. And that was not a healthy reaction to being tired. And so the stuff that we've learned from this is to maybe not release products over the Christmas holiday.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Well, and to circle back for a second, though, and this is not specific to you, so it's not me trying to like talk you out of your job. Don't hear that. I do think it's also reasonable as someone who likes their job, because there are a lot of people in the world that really like what they do, no matter what the job is. Sometimes it is absolutely possible for you to be in a fantastic situation in a really healthy, good job and just not want to do it anymore. And that may be because you want to do something else more. That may be because your time there is spent and you have done what you can do and you're ready to move on. So I also want people to be just really aware of, no matter what situation you're in, sometimes it can be time to move on. And that doesn't mean you have to only leave bad jobs, you know. I mean, for me, the job at Dell was fantastic. I made a ridiculous salary for what I was doing. I got to work at home. My manager was like awesome and talking to me about my YouTube videos on the side and stuff, and like encouraging me to do more of them and stuff. I was working with a team of people that were way smarter than me and patient with my lack of knowledge of what they were doing. It was great. Like, there was nothing about that job that told me that I should try to get out of it. It was just that there was something else, you know? Yeah. And so I don't want people to, kind of like you were saying about the food thing before, like, this is a great job. It's perfect. I just have to keep it as long as I can. Sometimes it may just not be the thing anymore.
Yeah. You know?
And you should be open to thinking about that, I guess.
Like other factors in your life that...
Got a microphone. Got to speak into the microphone, Meg.
Or like other factors in your life that can affect that decision too.
Sure.
Because before I came here, I was doing something that I loved. I worked from home. I traveled. The girl that I worked with had become one of my best friends. I literally traveled and spent $10,000 of other people's money and decorated, you know, homes. It was so much fun. And then this kind of was just laid out in front of me, like, this is a possibility. And it worked better for my family. It was going to be more fulfilling for me personally. It was learning all these new skills, but taking what I had already known and applying it in a different way to make it challenging, which was good. Because it was an opportunity to learn, which I enjoy learning new things, but I also enjoy taking what I know and applying it in a completely different way. And that's what this opportunity was for me, at least. Mm. So I left something that I loved, and I really, really loved what I was doing. But I can't imagine things being differently. Like, I'm fulfilled here.
Mm. Good.
Hope so.
Glad to hear that. Woo. Yeah, so burnout stuff is legit. It is hard. It is, I think it's important to, if you're feeling that way, for anybody, to find somebody that you can, like, unload to. Because I have the tendency, just my personality, is to keep stuff inside and to not talk about it, to not feel like, you know, I feel comfortable unloading to people that I think are going to get it. Otherwise, like, what's the point? They're not going to understand, so why unload things to them? Which is stupid. Like, I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's how I work. And I think if you continue to do that, then it just, you have churn in your head that is non-productive. You spend a lot of time just rethinking frustrating thoughts and being able to just spill it out to somebody else, whether they can do anything helpful or not, is beneficial. So if you're feeling that way at all, find somebody to unload to.
My mom used to, like, if I would be upset with something when I was a kid, I would just, like, talk to her and just, like, start unloading like you're talking about. And she was like, well, do you need to vent or do you want to do you want to vent or do you want progress? And I was like, well, those seems like different things. It was pretty much like, do you want me to help you with your problem or do you want me to be Listen. Like, you know, lend you an ear? And a lot of times, like, you know, I don't know. I just, you feel a certain way and you just got to talk to somebody. And my personality is that I don't want to unload on other people. Like, the either a task or problems or whatever, like, it's always been in my personality to handle your business, and that's a cornerstone of my personality. It's something I pride myself on, and at this point it probably, you know, to a fault. And I know that Megan is kind of the same way, and so she and I have an agreement that we will not ask for help. Like, I'm not going to ask for help. I just don't. But she's the same way, and I said, okay, we have a pact between the two of us that we'll never ask the world for help, but we can ask each other for help.
Mm,
and so it'll awesome. Be like a black market underhanded thing. And we won't tell anybody else that the other person helped the other person.
That's pretty great.
So if you are at work and you are feeling that way, you find that other person. You find someone else that you can, like, commiserate with And we're like, someone else can take a little bit of my burden. But even if you don't want to, you find one person that will keep it a secret so that everybody else still thinks you got it all together. And that you did it all. And then you give them a little wink.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Like that Saturday Night Live skit where the two sisters.
Oh, yeah.
There's two of you.
Oh, man. If anybody doesn't know that skit, it's called Mirror Image. Look it up on YouTube. Fantastic.
Mr. Haversmash. There's two twins.
Oh, boy.
That's silly.
Yeah, it's so good. Cool. Well, do we have any other thoughts on this? I don't want to cut it off, but I don't want to drag it out either.
No. No, I think you've had enough therapy session for you. That's pretty good. I am really hungry, though.
I am very hungry.
And I'm because I don't know anything about intermittent fasting, it's past 11 o'clock. It's 11:30.
It means you can eat a whole pizza, right?
I kind of want to go eat ice cream. I haven't had ice cream in a long time, and I really like ice cream, but it's quite cold outside, so I don't know where to get ice cream, but I kind of want to eat ice cream for lunch because I'm a grown-up and I can.
I'm sure they still sell ice cream this time of year somewhere. Cool. Well, let me say big thanks to everybody who's listening for coming back around.
Yeah.
Sorry, we've been gone for a long time. We really are planning on recording on a more regular basis. We spent a whole like hour or so at the retreat coming up with ideas for the shows.
Yeah.
Right? And like like segments and all sorts of stuff. So
guests. We talked about guests.
True. So we will do our best to be more regular.
That's the thing is we're recording. We are taking this seriously, but we are taking everything else that we are doing equally as seriously. And so something has to give.
Yeah.
And unfortunately it's the sitting at a table playing with Legos.
Yeah. You know, rah, rah. Yeah, I know.
And because you have to leave your house and the workshop to come here.
Yeah.
Like, that's just an additional step. And so you've been heads down doing a lot of things that don't allow you to leave your workshop and come here.
Yeah. And if I had a more reliable vehicle, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But I do want to say thank you to our Maker Alliance as well.
Absolutely.
For supporting this. This is not a show that makes any money whatsoever, but it is part of, you know, part of what we do as I Like to Make Stuff, and the Maker Alliance makes all of that go. So big thanks to them for the support. If you want to join that, you want to get, you know, Discord access, this awesome group of people. I mean, we have discounts on things and a bunch of other stuff as well, but the people, I think, are the thing that make the Maker Alliance worthwhile. So
they're doing summer camp again this
yes,
year
they
in
are.
August.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so people in the Maker Alliance know, like every month you do a video hangout.
Yep.
And we're switching up the video hangout to make it a little more accessible to people. So people in that month, or do it every other month, I guess, people who are new to the Maker Alliance are going to have like a newcomers hangout with you exclusively.
Yeah.
And then while you're doing that, one of the other team members is going to do the big hangout with all of the legacy members. So everybody else who is at that tier and gets
legacy
to have...
Legacy members. Yeah. Like
the OGs. So we're trying to give new members a little bit more face-to-face time.
Yeah.
So we're starting that this month, and that Maker Alliance meetup is on the 14th on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So bring your gross chalky hearts and...
That's right. Share them. Bring enough.
They don't
class.
Make chalky hearts anymore?
They stopped making those like 2 or 3 years ago, probably because they ran out of their original inventory finally.
Oh. They didn't give people cancer?
That's a shame.
Probably.
Heart cancer. They were not being fine.
But yeah, big thanks to the Maker Alliance. Go check that out if you're interested. We'll put links down in the description and, you know, you can find it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.